Welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and in the studio with me, we have Warren Downs and we have Jessica Park. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good. It's been a hectic day so far, but this is the first show that we're rolling out. And Jessica, what have you been up to?
I've been really busy. I've been producing. I've been booking guests for some shows, which is exciting. It's all the good stuff. I'm being brought into the fold of Business Radio X a bit more each week.
Definitely. You get to see our nasty, what we have in our closet, so all the skeletons. So.
Yeah.
And you're still around. You haven't run away yet.
No, I haven't. Nope.
So
it's all
I appreciate
good.
That. And Warren, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
This is your first solo producing for our show. Normally, I'm sitting there in that seat. So how does it feel?
Every bit as powerful as I thought it would.
Well, we have a great show for you guys today, and Jessica booked some great guests, as usual. Later in the show, we're going to be talking with Beer Street Journal with Reed Ramsey and Trevor Smith. And Trevor has been on so many different Business Radio X shows. He's a regular. I think he comes for the mugs. I don't know what it is. But
he's working on a collection. Yeah.
I think I have four or five.
But first up, on Meeting Pros, we have Felicia Newberry, Director of Sales at Magnum Companies. Welcome, Felicia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we have interviewed you before. We were at the Alley Awards last year, and we interviewed you, and it was a lot of fun. But what have you been up to since then?
Well, I think at that particular award show, we won four Alleys.
Yes, you did.
So that was a big day. And I also talked to you guys at ASAE this year, which we did all the entertainment for the outside venues, World of Coke, and Centennial Park.
How was that logistically?
Those were a few long days in between the Go-Go's and the World Class Rockers. We also had Dierks Bentley on the Toyota stage. So, yeah, and it rained all summer, but those 4 days, I think it was 95 and 105% humidity. So good.
Yes,
times.
I made the guys go get me a fan.
Oh yeah.
It's like, could you guys find a fan for me? Yeah, and they totally did.
But it was great. It was great for the city. Everything went fabulously. I think everyone pulled together in the city, and it was just a really great event.
It was very awesome. Cool. The park looked just beautiful. And you were one of the production companies that really put on the event, the closing ceremony in the Centennial Olympic Park.
Right. Mm-hmm. We worked with Juice Studios. They're
okay,
great.
Yeah, we've
yeah.
had Juice on here multiple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, they're really
a lot of fun.
I heard
yeah.
a lot. That was the place with the Megatron, right, that you were on, Jessica?
Yes.
And you actually were doing all the hosting?
Yeah.
You got roped into that?
I did. It was fun.
So what sets Magnum apart other than being able to control the weather? And
exactly. Well, a lot of people like to use AV, which we do that, but we're really a full-on production company. So we do permanent installations. We did the installation for the dolphin exhibit at the aquarium. We just finished the refurb at the Fox.
Wow.
And we also do special projects, like we currently have the big bow on Georgia Pacific for breast cancer awareness.
Okay, that's huge.
We do the Christmas lights at the Botanical Gardens, and that's for 4 years in a row now doing that. And then we also do fabulous productions like ASAE. And
so you guys seem like a premier company right there,
well,
doing
I
all the big
say,
stuff in Atlanta.
I would say premier. We're probably one of the oldest. We've been around 33 years, so.
All right. Well, in 33 years, I have to think things have changed in with new technology. How has it changed over the years? I know for you guys. I know you haven't been there the whole 30 years, but.
Well, no. Yes, since I was a child.
Not at all.
But technology has changed and it stayed the same. I always make the comment that I will never get rid of a mirror ball because someone is going to ask for a mirror ball. And they
as
use
soon
them.
As you
yes.
put it away. Yeah.
But, you know, with LEDs and wireless and things like that, it's really changed. It's a lot quicker, and a lot of people can do things. That's one of the things that sets us apart as well. We have a rental department. So if you wanted to put on your own production, you can come rent lights. We'll show you how to use them. And
really?
Yeah.
So you
fog
got,
machines,
so you
mics.
Guys, you guys do all types of events and offer all types of services for everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much. We probably have one of the largest rental houses, and we rent to all other production companies in town and in the southeast. We have gear on everything from Music Midtown to Tomorrow World. And we don't do those events, but we have gear on them, so other people will rent from us.
Well, that sounds really interesting. So basically, you're helping smaller production companies that don't have all this equipment. And you're like, hey, you can rent it from us. We're the big brother, big sister company, and we're going to help you guys out.
Right.
That's so awesome.
You don't want
to squash your competition. You're like, hey, come on. We're going to help you out with that.
Yeah, and then we do, you know, our own larger productions. But we have great friends all over the southeast and all the way to California. You know, we just had a California company come in town to do an event, and they rent from us and use even labor from us.
Wow. So how did you get into this? Were you a little girl and you just loved doing this kind of stuff? And you're like, I'm gonna do this when I'm older? Or how did you get in this industry?
Something like that. Actually, I started out doing commercial music, and I was A&R for MCA for a little while.
Okay.
And that's kind of hard to do. Like I said, I have twin daughters, and being backstage at rock concerts is...
I bet they would love that.
They would love it, and they would love it now, but it's a little challenging. So I actually saw an ad in a newspaper for entertainment sales, and I could do that. That sounds familiar. So I interviewed at Magnum with the person who founded Magnum, Eric Magnuson, and... He was like, what do you know about lighting and sound? And I said, well, I know when my artist goes on stage, they're supposed to be on. He's like, you're hired.
You're hired.
Yeah.
I know what looks good. I know what right. I like. Yeah. Those right. things help, though. Definitely.
And he was just a great mentor. I mean, he had an eye. He could just make everybody look good in any place, even this room right here, look fabulous.
Really? Yeah. It's got some trouble. We could use some help with that, definitely. Any advice after the show, I'll do anything. I'll paint it, whatever I need to do to make the room look better. So.
Well, yeah, the grass is not always greener. It's just lit better.
And I don't know if you noticed, our green room is not green either,
exactly.
So we need help with that. So.
We can change the green. No worries.
So you mentioned mentors. How important is that in your career and anyone's career, having a mentor?
I think the other thing that I'm very involved in is GAMPI. I'm on the board of directors for Georgia MPI. And I really think as a young person in this industry, you need to meet people. And it's all about who you know. It's great to have a degree in whatever. I would say most of the people who work in our industry didn't start out here. So it's always...
Yeah.
I mean, you just kind of step into it. And... GAMPI is a great place to meet people, and if you really want to get into production, I always say get on someone's freelance list and, learn how to pull cable, run a board, and you'd be amazed. I had a guy that started on our freelance list and right around the Olympics time, and he goes on tour right now with all these huge country artists and... You know, he started out at Magnum pulling cable at Chastain Park.
Definitely. Yes. And you don't know how big that is, but if you can roll cable properly and put it up, that's
huge
thing.
Yeah.
And not many people can do it, so.
You'd be surprised.
We actually watched your guys break down because you guys set up the setup at ASAE,
right.
Part of the table and all of that.
That's our table, yeah.
Very nice table, by the way. It made us look really flashy. We loved it. But the guy that was wheeling up the cable was... He did such a great job that even the owners of the company were like, can we see you do that again? Like
Definitely.
The way he did
well,
it.
I think that, again, sets us apart at Magnum. Our guys are really, you know, we want the best of the best because it's a reflection on who we are. And these guys really take it serious, really take it to heart, and they make me look good.
Well, that's the best part. That's what I learned. You hire people that are better than you. Like Jessica, she's way better than anything I can do, and it just makes me look better. So
exactly.
Just put my ego on the shelf and let them do their work. So, but it does say a lot about your company. 5 years, the Botanical Gardens, and they are sticklers over there. I know that from personal experience. They're great, but they're very, very, they want exactly what they want, and they only deal with vendors that are very professional about it.
Right.
So, but it's a huge event. I love going during Christmas and looking at all the lights.
It's gorgeous, and it's more and more every year. They actually start twinking, as we call it, in August. What? And it opens in November, like the second week in November, runs through January. But it is so much work.
It's like the Festival of Lights. What's it called exactly?
Holiday Lights. Okay. Yeah. And definitely date night or whatever. Great place to go. They have alcohol there.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yay.
Another reason I do this show, I get a lot of good dates because my girlfriend never listens to my show at all. So I can say whatever I want. And then I come out with these awesome dates and she's like, wow.
Yeah,
awesome. I just thought of it. It just came to me.
It's so romantic. Yeah,
good state and family.
So I actually only go to the Botanical Gardens during Christmas for this light show, and it's amazing. And everyone in Atlanta knows about it. Do you guys set up the train, or is that always there? That little train thing. I just wanted to know. I'm always curious.
I think it's set up through the Botanical Gardens somehow. We're not trained people.
Okay.
Lighting, sound. So I'm sure we could find someone to do it, but no.
And do you guys come up with all those awesome, cool designs and all those different lights and stuff? Is that all you guys?
It's not all of us. We work with a team. But, yeah, we have some of the best lighting designers that you can think of. And especially for our holiday decor, Jackie, who's been with Magnum. She's been there about 30 years.
Wow.
She is excellent. I've never seen – I mean, she does everything from the botanical gardens to someone's home that – wants to spend the money for decor. It's just gorgeous. She amazes me all the time.
That's awesome. So you mentioned other people help you out. How important are these like vendor relationships for Magnum?
For Magnum, it's really important. We, like I said, we work with every production company in town and all over, you know, all over everywhere. And we also, because we have retail and rental, our vendors that we get gear from are very important. So we send people to LDI every year. Our owner, Todd Finch, is on a committee for Plaza, which is a big entertainment association. So we really work the industry.
I absolutely love that. So we talked new technology earlier. Let's talk internet technology. Let's talk social media. How is it for your industry and for Magnum in particular?
Magnum, we're probably not as good as we should be on social media. Mm-hmm. I think personally for me, I'm pretty social media savvy, and I do a lot for my own events through Magnum and Gampy. To me, and just FYI, Gampy will have a social media workshop in November, so be sure and sign up for that.
All right.
I think it's very important just so – I mean, it's free. It's free marketing. Why wouldn't you use social media? I'm sure these blog guys, I know he was tweeting earlier, so.
They've got the dream job right there.
Right.
Still so. Tweeting.
We're tweeting right now.
I know. Yeah. Hands-free isn't, tweeting going
isn't
on
Isn't that
here.
A blog, tweeting and drinking? Because you guys are doing that.
Oh, is that right what now. I'm doing?
So I think it's really important. And anybody who has a small business or something to say, it's free. It's a free market. You have to be very careful, too, because if you don't produce a great event, people are going to tweet about that as well and Facebook it. So you always have to be on your game.
Definitely. It's a double-edged sword.
It really is.
And it can go from it's a two-second thing. You upset me or I get mad or something goes wrong. I angrily tweet it out, and then it's out there for everybody.
Right. And we do – it's funny because we do live Twitter walls for events. And most people will have somebody from their team screening those tweets before you put them on a 20-foot wall.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
But you can't catch them all, though. So.
Yeah, that would be nerve-wracking.
So
I had a company yesterday. It was a PR company, and one of their elements of what they do is they review, obviously, their clients' tweets, you know, and they respond. And because they work with a lot of restaurants, they'll call and be like, "You've got a customer sitting at the bar that hasn't been served yet. Like, you need to get over there."
I was in Virginia Highlands and tweeted that there was not enough TVs to watch a football game.
Oh, man.
And seriously, the owner came over and bought us drinks and everything. And a year later, I swear they have so many TVs in this place.
That's because of you.
You can't turn around without a TV.
That's great.
Yeah, so they listen. It's
impactful.
Important.
Yeah.
And I know for ASAE, I was tweeting for Magnum, and I was tweeting for ASAE and Juice. And just pulling up the hashtags, people were like, "Oh, the lighting on the stage is great." I mean, that's great.
It's free
marketing. Yeah, exactly. So it's great.
So that's awesome. So I don't want you to play favorites. You've been in the industry a long time, and you're a professional. What's your favorite venue in Atlanta? I love the Tabernacle. personally. So
we were just at the tab for Russell Brand. I did not go, but I
he's not your cup of tea.
He's not my idea, but I love the tab. The Fox, you guys, if you haven't been in a while, we just did the refurb in there, and it was always gorgeous, but now it's even more gorgeous. Well, I just think Atlanta has really great different venues, like the Fox. I mean, the ballrooms in Atlanta are not too shabby either.
Yeah.
Puritan Mills, which I'm going to here in about an hour, the Chattahoochee River Keepers are having an event, so we're doing that. That's another great venue. There's just so many places that Sweetwater, which I know you guys are a fan of.
Sweetwater?
You know, you don't have to pick your traditional place to have an event. You can be at Centennial Park and put up a huge stage on the fountain like we did. It's, you know, it's whatever you need.
And I just want to go back to the Fox, because people won't realize this, but if you go see an event at the Fox in there, that's like 10% of the whole place. Go take a tour of it. I did a couple proms in there, and it is a crazy – I can't believe how big it is. You wouldn't even realize.
It's huge, and my guys, when they were doing the refurb, they would find like candy wrappers and things from when the Fox first opened.
That's awesome.
I mean – It's haunted.
It is haunted.
And now it has LED lights instead of your traditional lights, so they're saving on power.
Ghost hunters right there. Nice.
I know. I keep looking out for that. Ghost hunters showing up at the Fox Theater.
That's a great venue, though. But the Tab, if you're going to go see a band or anything, and we do a lot of stuff at the Tabernacle, great, great place.
Such a great venue. Well, Felicia, thank you so much for coming on. Can you give us your contact information for Magnum so people can reach out and hire you guys or rent from you guys? And
You can go to magnumco.com. That's our website. We're also at, for people who still use phone, 800-255-1774. And just email at production@magnumco.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
You're welcome.
And
I don't get to stay for beer.
I don't know how your boss would feel about that. So
take one down, pass it
I'm
around.
I'm just going to look at it.
Just look at it.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Trevor Smith, who's no stranger to the Business Radio X mic, and Reed Ramsey, but they're talking about Beer Street Journal, their company, getting in the beer industry. I love beer. We all love beer.
Yeah, this was kind of a favor to Kevin.
Exactly.
I wanted to have these guys on.
And welcome, guys. You guys are doing something pretty cool. So why don't you tell us about it?
Well, the site got started 6 years ago. And I guess to condense the story down, I was at a bar at 5 o'clock. And a local bar here, Taco Mac, as it actually was. And you know that their selection, 100 taps plus and everything.
Definitely. Yeah, the Fred in Sandy Springs, too, which is nice.
Great place.
I was there last night.
And it's 5 o'clock, and, you know, this is 6 years ago, so all these craft breweries are flooding into Georgia. And this guy leans over me and asks the bartender what's new. And he runs down 5 or 6 amazing beers that are still considered awesome craft beer standards, like Victory and Dogfish Head and things like that. And he thinks for a second and orders a Corona Light.
Oh, man.
That's a no.
And I almost let it go. And I thought, why would you come here with this selection and order that? And so I turned and asked him, and he said, well, I don't know what those are. And immediately it just gave me an idea for a project, which is to try to familiarize people with what these beers are. If the craft industry is going to grow and it's going to be bigger, people want some familiarity with their product. They're just not going to order blindly off a menu. And, you know, I think everyone has this conception of what beer is up until craft beer is blown up and the way it is now. So I just went home and started writing about what these things were and grew it from there. And now 6 years later, it's national and huge. And
it is huge.
Over 200 countries, actually. So it's a little more than national.
And the best part is if you don't know how to read, there's plenty of videos on the site. I went there and checked it out. So
if you don't know how to read,
doesn't matter. You can listen to people, and you can still go drink good beer.
Yeah, so. Between breweries releasing their own videos, and now I you know, take to the – this guy needs a beer. One of those is his.
That one down there.
I need to drink that.
I forgot Warren was here. They gave me two, and I was like, sweet.
I think he's crying. Get him a beer.
Kevin's boat guarding the beer.
But I'll go to breweries now and film and poorly edit the videos.
Nice.
With brewers talking about their new releases or kind of giving their backstory on how the brewery got founded, and so people can get some idea of what's behind the beer, the people that are brewing it, what the place looks like, because craft beers have it's an amazing identity and amazing backstory. And I'm 99% sure I'm right on this, but like the founder of Six Point Shane, he gave up his apartment and lived in the brewery, on the floor of his brewery for a while as he got Six Point off the ground. I think he actually lost his girlfriend over it too. So that sucks, but now he has an amazing brewery.
And
so I guess
he has a better girlfriend.
I hope. I don't know what his status is, but he's got a brewery now and I think a home, so it's good. But you know, those are stories, little small stories and things you think about when you go get the beer that, you know, some people make these massive sacrifices to brew this beer. It's not just beer, drink it, and go home. I mean, the beers we're drinking today, they're all made with unique ingredients. They're just, you know, full of flavor. And I think once you kind of get a little more of what goes in the recipes and things, then you really get turned on to a whole new world of awesome
definitely.
Drinking.
I talk to a lot of different people, and you always hear that person. They're like, well, I don't really like beer. And I look at them, I'm like, there's like thousands of different kinds of beer that are around, and how can you not like it? It's like cheese or chocolate, or there's something for everybody, and you can find a beer. There's cranberry tasting beers. There's so many different kinds.
Right.
Well, that's what's in that one. See, ironically, I think we're close to, I don't know what the latest number is, but we're pushing about 3,000 craft breweries in production.
Wow.
Across the U.S., and it's not slowing down. Now, of that 3,000 breweries, let's say that they all have, let's say, conservatively 2 to 4 year-round beers. And then we'll say they do 4 seasonal. So that's 8 times 3,000. And that's how many beers that you're already behind on drinking when you wake up in the morning. And there are a lot of breweries that put out way more than, say, 8 a year. I mean, it's some are in 15, 20 or more. So you really are behind.
All right. So, Trevor, how do you get involved in this? I know you probably – you begged to come get in this. Or is this also part of your idea or
– it was strange how I got involved. So I'm down at the Fred one night talking to my friends. I'm like – being kind of the pompous guy, thinking I know about beer. Can you hear me? All right, cool. So Reed's sitting next to me, blogging and doing his thing, and he overhears my horrible description of what an IPA is.
Man.
Yeah, it gets bad.
It was terrible.
So he just couldn't help himself, interjected himself in our conversation, and made me look like a complete idiot. And I'm like, all right, this guy knows what he's talking about. So we instantly became friends.
I love that right there. They instantly became friends.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there trying to ignore it. You know, like you're sitting at a table and you hear somebody's conversation and you hate it. And you're like, oh, just ignore it. Just like, oh. And I forgot what he said. There was a giveaway point where the Fred has the curtains between tables. And I like pull the curtain aside. I'm like, you know what? Shut up. Let me sit down. And like we order beers. And then 3 hours later, we probably shut the place down, if I recall correctly, the hangover the next day.
So
ever since then, we've been friends.
The reason I'm kind of brought on to the business side of the website, we've relaunched with a new platform that has geotagging capabilities.
Okay, that is cool.
So, you know, right now it's really based in the U.S., but we can target. So a brewer wants to launch a new line and they want to target certain states. We can go after those people with our geotagging capabilities, and the site looks so much better than it was. And Reed, hey, doesn't have time for the business side of the thing. So he brought me on board, and I get to get paid to drink and socialize.
Very nice.
And beats working. So, I mean, you have a real job, too. That's why you've been on here before. But just having that as an extra job, that's not working at all. So.
No, it's a lot of fun. It actually intermingles with what I do, my other job as well.
Definitely. Okay, cool. Do you guys actually brew yourselves?
I do.
Okay.
I'm on
my
the consumer side.
Is a bit of a beer snob. He loves IPAs. He brings his own cooler everywhere we go because no one ever has beer that's up to par for him.
And, good man. That's a good geek right there.
He would be very excited about this right now. But we went to the Growler store, and I swear, I didn't think we were ever going to leave.
You went to Hop City? Is that the one?
No, the one in Brookhaven. The Growler.
Oh, it's called the Growler?
Yeah, okay. I think it's called the Growler. And like we were with his dad. His dad was visiting, and they let you taste everything. They let you try. And they even had sodas on drafts, which was nice for me, but
a couple of brewers make root beer. Abita does.
Red Hair does.
Red Hair does now too.
Yeah, but they had like cherry cream soda on draft. I was in heaven.
So what? We just left Hoctoberfest. You want to tell these guys what we were doing on Saturday, other than just trying amazing beer?
Hoctoberfest.
Hoctoberfest.
Oh, okay.
Like drinking, from what I recall.
Yeah, it was hot. But what are some upcoming events that we're doing?
Well, there's Decatur Beer Fest comes up here on the 19th of October, but it's already sold out, so you might need to
get it for next year. Just pre-order.
Yeah, well, or go find somebody selling tickets, but that's one not to miss. And then Atlanta Beer Week kicks off that day, and there's a whole week of events of just casks and tap takeovers and things like that. And that's just – there's a Ponce de Leon Beer Fest coming up in November, and that's new this year. So there's plenty of opportunities. And I encourage people to go to these because it's great. For $30 or $40, you get a shot at a lot of beers to try. And, you know, and doing that in a bar will – 16 ounces at a time or 12 ounces at a time could be a little rough.
It's tough.
But you want to figure out what to go buy next time or what to go home and, you know, bring a pen and a piece of paper or take a picture with your phone so you can go find it. And that's a great way to, especially if you're just getting into drinking all these beers, it's a lot cheaper. Trust me, I know what my
Definitely.
Bills look like when I go buying beer. it gets expensive. So, and these, I brought, the beers we're drinking here are four different amazing fall selections. A couple are new, a couple aren't. Sweetwater Motorboat, I think if you've been in Atlanta, you've heard of that by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, definitely.
An awesome ESB. It's just, you can just drink a lot of it. The New Belgium Pump Kick, and that's a first and foremost a pumpkin beer. It's brewed with cinnamon and allspice and pumpkin juice. But they add cranberry juice to it, so you get a little bit of a tart flavor.
Yeah, it's really good. I like it.
Alongside with a pumpkin. And then Dogfish Pumpkin, which is, you know, always touted as one of the best pumpkin beers you can buy each fall and goes away so fast. It just hit Atlanta, so if you better run if you want some because it's not sticking around. It never does. And then another new one from this year, I think we've all heard of Anchor, and they make steam beer. They have Big Leaf Maple this year, which is an autumn red ale brewed with maple syrup. So you get a little of a sweet complexity to your big malt backbone to it.
And I think my seasonal favorite on the pumpkin beers, I tried the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel
Pumpkin Barrel.
Okay. Pumpkin Barrel, and it is a bourbon beer. I'm going to let him describe it because I'm really bad at that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, me. Lexington Brewing, they have an awesome lineup of barrel-aged beers. And they make a bourbon barrel stout, and they make a bourbon barrel ale. And though they're new in this year is Pumpkin Barrel Ale, and it's a pumpkin beer aged 6 weeks in Kentucky bourbon barrels.
Ooh.
And it's tasty. I think that's the breakout favorite for this year already. I'm already a geek over barrel-aged beers, and once you add that in, the pumpkin complexity to it, it's incredible.
All right.
I don't know how much I've been through already, but...
So since you know all the secret sauce, there's something I couldn't... I've had the owners of Five Seasons on here before, and they will not tell me, but they always do their pumpkin ale in a giant pumpkin, and they get into the cask and the pumpkin. How do they do that?
Well, the big pumpkin that they tap from, I mean, they go out and buy one of those
ginormous,
ridiculously large 150, 200 pound pumpkins. I've always wanted to carve one, or at least crawl into it or something like that. And they, open it and gut it, and then they pour the beer into it, and you put the spout in the front and you tap. Or you can, there's a lot, you can do more complex things like, I don't know if you really want to get geeky and start running stuff through the pumpkin, but they literally just pour the pumpkin and put the spout in the front and pour out of the pumpkin.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that. I didn't know if they grew a pumpkin around a cask or I don't. I have these crazy ideas in my head.
Well, let's I think you probably just – somebody's going to go do that now thanks to the idea.
I always give one good idea every show.
They do that with brandies and stuff where they grow the fruit in the bottles.
Yeah, different cool stuff.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Atlanta breweries, because Atlanta actually has a ton of great breweries. I know we mentioned Red Hair, obviously Sweetwater. One of my favorite, Monday Night Brewing. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
They have a great ginger beer.
It's
the Fu Man Brew is one of my favorites.
They just released a new one this week called Hipster Harvest Ale, and that launched on Monday. And that's amber
a tough
ale.
Sell.
Who's their target demographic?
Who wants to order the hipster?
Somebody with a typewriter in Starbucks.
Well, they are in West Midtown. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Three Taverns this weekend is opening their tap room in Decatur. Three Taverns is started by Brian Purcell, and he has an authentic, real Joran is their Belgian brewmaster, and actually, I think he's like the cousin or the nephew of Peter Buchart, who brews the Pump Kick here at New Belgium or at the New Belgium beer you're drinking. So they opened this weekend their tap room. Now, they've already been distributing for a few months, and they just launched a new Imperial Stout. But they're one of Atlanta's newest. And then Jekyll and Alpharetta just opened. They're new, obviously.
Definitely.
Monday Night Brewing just opened. Wild Heaven just announced they're building their brewery in Avondale Estates, finally,
okay.
After 2 years.
Awesome.
So they've got $1 million-plus project. They're building a destination brewery. Can't wait to see how that unfolds.
And I love Street, that there are a number of restaurants that are doing just local beers now because it's available. I mean, it's
It's amazing flavor to, you know, if you're making like farm to table or artisanal food, it would be dumb to ignore the local breweries that are here and the amazing flavors that they have.
You don't have to get snooty with wines. That's the best part.
Well, you know, one thing I've never understood is like you'll go into a steak restaurant or something and they have a wine list that's, you know, extremely long.
Yeah.
And steaks that are running $50, $75 a piece, and their beer selection is like seven. Bud, Miller, Coors.
Yeah. Only bottles.
And you kind of facepalm because you're like, wow, you've taken so much effort to put in, you know, $100 of $100 shot bourbon and amazing cocktails, and your beer is football game pedestrian.
Definitely.
Why don't you tell them about what you did down at Jailhouse a couple weeks ago?
I did a collaboration with Jailhouse and Ale Sharpton, who's another beer writer here in Atlanta. We did a sweet tea beer. I got it in my head. I was brewing with them in June of this year over at Jailhouse, and they're in a jail courthouse in Hampton, Georgia, in a small south of Atlanta town. And you get this real southern in heat of the night kind of, oh, brother, where art thou, feel from the place.
Yeah.
I'm probably using every southern stereotype I can think of. But I got to thinking about southern brewing and what it means to brew in the south. And when it came to, like, sweet tea, I mean, I grew up on sweet tea. I had southern parents. And I thought, why is there not such a thing as sweet tea beer? There's tea in beer. So we all were kind of talking and drinking and talking and drinking and drinking and talking and thought, let's try to do this. So we did. And we basically made an amber ale with a lot of big caramel malt flavor to it and then made separate whirlpools of Lipton, decaffeinated tea, and orange and coriander and then put that into the boil. And it's you can find it a few places around Atlanta today. Like it's on Growler at Alia and Hop City and Young Augustine's. And we had a throw party at Cypress Street in September and blew through kegs of that. But it you get a sense of sweet tea. It's not as sweet as sweet tea is, but it you kind of get an idea. And it's great if you drop bourbon into it, too, just saying.
Well, that sounds like a blast. Go to Young Augustine, play some bocce ball, drink some sweet tea beer.
Drink
like
some Jailhouse sweet tea beer.
That sounds great. So what is next for Beer Street? What else are you guys doing? Are you guys have any plans in the future? You guys seem pretty robust site right now, and you've got a lot of range and people that you're reaching.
What I wanted – the demographic for the site, I really want to reach the emerging drinker, those that are – they know that there's these breweries out there, but they're daunted by the sheer number of beers out there, and they don't know what they want to drink, and they're just getting into it, and I don't – I'm almost scared that sometimes I'll meet a beer, enthusiast, that just gets way in their face, and it gets so overwhelming.
Don't
and
look
it
at scared, Trevor when you look
it
at that.
It scares them away. Yeah, like he learned quick. to scare them off. You kind of want to just dial it in a little bit and let them try a little bit more and try a little bit more and try a little bit more and let them get a hold of flavors they like and then seek out beers that are like those flavors. And so I want to go to more breweries and film and really find ways to get those people in touch with the stories behind the beers, with the people that are making these beers and sacrificing their life savings and their child's education for beer. And so when you go and you get another glass of, you know, Dogfish or Monday Night or Jekyll, you know who's brewing it. You get an idea of where they came from and their approach. And you just, there's a lot of personality that goes into craft beer, and that's what makes craft beer so amazing. And getting those stories in the hands of people, in the heads of people, so when they go and they can go to the bar and say, hey, and brag to their friends, like, hey, that's made with maple syrup from this big tree in California. That's awesome. And let those stories take hold. I think that's how craft beer is going to grow, because it just captures barely 7% of the overall market.
It's been growing like crazy, though.
400% plus year over year, and big beer's losing 3% to 4% each year. And I think that speaks to the fact that people are getting tired of gimmicky beers, and they want to regain that touch. I always say this: when you have steak, you don't say, "Oh, I'm tired of steak. I need to go back to like some gas station taquito." You know, no, yeah. You always crave the steak. So now you've had the taste of better things. You want to keep drinking better things.
Definitely. So, what's the difference? This is a technical question, but between macro and craft beer, you mentioned that earlier, just for our listeners.
So, the Brewers Association, basically, it's this: 6 million barrels a year. A barrel is 31 gallons of production. You can't buy a barrel, but a barrel is 2 15-5 kegs, two of the big kegs you'll see, you know, behind a bar or a college party or whatever. The big kegs, two of those is 31 gallons. That's a brewer's barrel. So, if you make 6 million barrels a year or less in production, you're considered a craft brewer. And the larger ones are like Boston Beer, Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada. They're the larger side of craft beer. Lagunitas in Petaluma, California, and now Chicago are they're stepping up production. So I think you'll bring more than a million this year. So that's your fast and dirty what makes a craft brewer a craft brewer.
Okay.
And so to put it in perspective, just the Baldwinsville Anheuser-Busch plant here in Georgia produces 9.5 million barrels a year at that one location.
Wow.
And so they literally lap most craft breweries.
It's a lot of crappy
beer.
The
lifetime.
Oh, that's college beer. That's what we call that. It's college beer.
Festival, man.
Mm-hmm. So so you're saying right now there's no place I could go maybe. I know Hop City and stuff, they have you can go and brew your own beer and you drink someone else's. Like, they teach you how to do that. But is there anywhere where you can go and, like, you could brew beer, learn how it's made, and also just go through a tasting to do that? That would be really cool.
There are a lot of tastings that are held all over the city. Hop City every Wednesday does a tasting across the street at Octane, and typically okay. They'll bring in a
that's right where
that's
I
a
live.
Place.
I
live
brewer, right beer rep, and,
there you go.
And they'll pour you small pours of whatever the featured brewery is. But it happens all over the place. Now to go in and brew, there's no place like that in Atlanta right now.
Okay.
I'm actually working with another partner on something like that in Savannah. So we're going to kind of do something. We want to create something like that where you can go in and. It looks almost like top shelf style where all the equipment is there and you just get your ingredients and you brew it and you ferment it and you take it home. And that way it saves you having to buy expensive equipment.
Definitely.
You can brew beer for $150
now. Which isn't a lot for – we know that's not a lot.
It may not be great beer.
Right.
And there's also –
it probably won't be.
There's plans in the works for beerstreetjournal.com to have a monthly beer tasting, like a beer dinner, something to that extent. We're talking to a few folks to get that set up too.
That would definitely be awesome. I would do that in an absolute.
We're going to tie in local brewers, and again, it's more of that getting people in front of the people who make the beer. They're busy, and I think it helps to have somebody to help draw the people that want to drink the beer and meet the people and the stories behind it with the people who make it. And I think, you know, whether it's just in Atlanta or in other cities.
Well, it's a whole culture, really.
Yeah, I love this because every day there's a new flavor to explore, a new release. There's something new to learn about this industry. And on top of that, everybody I meet is they're all awesome and they're all really enthusiastic. And to the level of how much they care and how much beer and craft beer is a passion for them is as inspiring as it can possibly be. And I think that just makes you want to drink these beers.
Well, definitely. And it's not like a wine culture, which, like I said earlier, is really snooty, and if you don't do it right, people look down on you. Like, we're accepting of everyone. We want people to experience new beers and find their favorite beer and find a good beer. So.
Yeah, is there a word for that, the sommelier of beers?
Well, there's Cicerone.
Okay.
So there's three levels of Cicerone. There's the certified beer server, which is level one. Level two is much harder, and it's Cicerone two. And then master Cicerone, which is... I heard a number. I think there's less than 75 in the United States right now, I think. The number could be way off, but that's to hit master Cicerone level. So it's a sommelier, essentially, of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn everything from off flavors, fermentation, building draft systems, things like that.
All right. Well,
it's a long road.
Before we wrap up here, what's the craziest beer you guys have tried? Like,
ooh.
I just want to know.
I'm going to go ahead and say Ghost Face Killer.
Okay. I've had a ghost chili pepper beer my friend made. That was the craziest.
Twisted Pine makes that.
It was six of us one night, and none of us could finish, all put together, couldn't finish it. I took a drop, and my throat burned for like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. This stuff is crazy, and he made it just potent, my friend did. So, but it's the same thing, ghost chili pepper beer. Is that what Ghost Face Killer is? Or?
I will say, you can actually, since we're talking to mainly Atlanta, this is what I would go after. And New Belgium has a Lips of Faith series, which is their, let's say, one-off, experimental, collaborative, crazy, Brewers Unleashed kind of situation. And on shelves right now is called Coconut Curry Hef.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's one of those things you stop for a second and say, is that going to be good?
It's like a bacon milkshake. You're like, yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be good. Is that going to be good? It's almost like the first time you had a bacon cupcake, and you're like, I'm not sure. Oh, that's awesome. And it's exactly what this is. And that's what that is. It's coconut, it's curry, and if you ever was at a hef before, And the flavors, you get a little bit of that curry heat on the finish, a big kind of tropical coconut front, and it's one of those things where you almost feel confused the whole time you're drinking it, but it's the kind of confusion where you're okay with.
It's okay. It's a blissful confusion.
A blissful state of euphoric confusion, and that's about $8, $8.99 a bomber right now, and I would highly suggest you want a flavor roller coaster.
Awesome. Well, all right. Well, give your website one more time.
Beerstreetjournal.com.
And is there a way that breweries, if they want to get interviewed and get on your site, is there a way for them to do that too?
Sure. There's a contact button at the top of the site. It goes straight to me.
So it's nice and easy, and mm-hmm. they get to deal straight with you, the creator.
Straight to me.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for bringing the beer.
Of course.
Awesome.
Lunch is served.
I feel bad that Jessica can't drink any, so.
I know. Well, actually, my husband will be like, really?
Really?
You didn't invite me? It's been a great show for me to come watch.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, I just want to see how your Of Entrepreneurs group's doing, Jess. I always check in to see if it's growing.
It is. It's every week I get new people added on there, and it's great. It's a great educational space for event planners and event industry professionals, so I love it.
All right. Yeah. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.